T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to hour number 2 of the Instigators. Nice little segue at the end there. Speaking of alumni who will be involved in FanFest this weekend at KeyBank Center. An awful lot going on. So many details that I couldn't possibly give them all to you. But Sabres.com/FanFest has them all. As it pertains around the 5K run, the alumni autograph sessions, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and the list, gentlemen, is lengthy. You were blown away when I gave you the entire list.
Quite a few.
Now, again, it's always subject to change, you know, with anything like this, but it certainly appears as though we have a heavy commitment from not only recent alum, yourself included. You're laughing. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I text. You have Tim Kennedy, and we played together. we played together for a year. I just sent something. I just remembered a dinner. That I went to dinner with him, and wanted to know if he remembers. What happened at that dinner, but that's about all I can tell about that, and
that's all you're gonna say.
That is all I'm gonna say.
Wow. Yeah. The ultimate tease. Well, here's hoping that the two of you reconnect in front of a microphone down at Alumni Plaza this weekend and can share more details from that. But again, recent alum, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, all represented. So we're going right back to the early days. Jerry Meehan to be a part of it. Danny Gare, Rene Robert, Gilbert Perreault. And certainly all through the different eras, which the beauty of FanFest is that as we get set for the golden anniversary season, you have fans just waiting to celebrate the era that they fell in love with the team. So we are definitely looking forward to FanFest this weekend.
Assemble!
That's awesome. Presented by Labatt Blue Light, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. this Saturday down at, just outside of KeyBank Center. And again, I think, there's just some, like, Hammer, Rivs, I want to play a little name association. Like, I'll throw you a name, what comes to mind, whether it's a story. I know, like, try to elaborate a little more than the Tim Kennedy dinner story, like, maybe. So I'll start with Hammer on this one. Hey, when you think of Don Edwards, what do you think of?
Don Edwards. Little guy. I mean, he was, you think of the big goaltenders right now.
Yeah.
He was a little guy, but he would fight for every position he got. Like, mm-hmm. guys get in his way, he'd be swatting them. He'd be knocking them around.
Aggressive. Skating out like Hasek did.
Right. You know? He wasn't going to let his size deter him.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to let big guys intimidate him in the net.
The tandem of he and Bob Sauve. Same size.
So he had the competition, too.
Yeah.
He knew Bob Sauve. Number one pick was breathing down his neck if he didn't do well. So, that was always there, too.
Amazing thing that I just revisited statistically this morning when thinking about Edwards and Sauve winning the Vezina in 79-80, which back then was not awarded to the as-voted-upon top goaltender. It was given to the tandem with the lowest goals against average, now the Jennings Trophy. They were over 30 goals ahead, as far as 30 goals fewer allowed than the next best team in the league that year. I always assume that they must have been in lockstep with Montreal, who were notoriously stingy coming through their dynasty era of the 70s. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable, the numbers that they posted. And maybe now, when I look back at 79-80, it might be the biggest missed opportunity. That team,
the Sabres were the favorite to win the Stanley Cup that
year. Flyers had more points, but statistically, across the board, even though the French Connection was no longer the French Connection, Rene was gone, it was built. It acquired Ramsey out of the Olympics, like the Islanders acquired
Scotty was
Ken
there.
Morrow. Scotty was there, and it's just, you know, I often wonder, and Danny and I have talked about this a lot, that inability to get past the Islanders and the fact that that year started the Islanders dynasty and the biggest what if. What if the group had been able to beat the Islanders that year?
Was that and then the ultimately, year they got ahead of the Islanders and then lost the series?
I'd have to revisit. I remember.
I know there was
Lindy
a series
Ruff
with
and
the
Billy
Islanders
Smith
that
and
happened
and the battle that they had, and it ended in six games in favor of the Islanders. But you know, so that name alone takes you back. And then you think of, I mean, you have a Foligno connection, Mike Foligno connection.
The only connection I have was watching him when I was younger and watching that jump when he scored.
Mm-hmm. He almost killed Gilbert Perreault on the 500th goal. Perreault, he was on the ice. Perreault scored it, and Mike leaped and just wiped him out. It was probably the hardest hit of the game, I do remember that one.
Your history, of course, Rivs, is so much more with the recent guys, the characters, the real characters, right? I mean, is it true you actually fought Eric Bolton?
I did, and yeah, I mean, not something that I want to do, that's for sure. Back when I was I was pretty young, I think, when we fought. I think we're the same age, if I'm not mistaken. He's actually 2 years younger than me, but I remember fighting him. It was in Montreal behind the net, and I was thinking to myself, this is the last guy I want to fight. He was a heavyweight. He was dangerous. Extremely powerful, and I was not that. I was not a heavyweight.
Why would you let a fighter take you off the ice? Aren't you more valuable to your team than he would be to his? He's doing his job if he takes you off the ice.
Yeah, not back then, though, Paul. Not back then. I was doing what I had to do to stay in the lineup, earn respect in the lineup. I was not, I was a young guy at the time. He was a young guy. He went out there. He knew his job. My job was still somewhat, I was trying to build myself an identity. Through junior hockey, I was considered an offensive power play specialist. Yes, Paul, yes, I was. And then by the time I got in the minors, in my first year pro, I went from being a power play specialist to a somewhat two-way physical defenseman that would fight. And then when I got called up to Montreal, they wanted me to fight. They wanted me to be highly physical, nasty, and my job description changed, and I had to change mentally as a player. And unfortunately for me, I had to fight guys like Eric Bolton, who was as tough as they come. He was dangerous. He was a very, very tough guy. I remember that fight. Certainly the nerves were there.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy what you go through emotionally and physically over the course of one's career, and the challenges that, within the team game, the individual battles are high. Definitely want your input as far as if you're heading down to KeyBank Center this weekend, you know, which alum that you're most excited to see. You can reach us, of course, at The Instigators, at Craig Revay 52 on Twitter, and at PHAM1717. I'm at Duffer Sabres in for Andrew Peters this week. Guys like Matt Ellis, recent player, but I know, I'm going to assume, but I'm going to let you start. You have a lot of time for Matt and just his evolution as a guy in the game.
Ultimate professional. You know, didn't have maybe the ability that a lot of guys had. Didn't care because he put in more work than everybody else. And he would work and he would work and he would work until he crashed down the door. He's probably not going to make teams. He's not good enough. You know what? Yeah, he is, because he's not going to let you cut him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to let you send him down.
Yeah,
he's going to be there. He's going to be on somebody. He's going to always be the last guy out of the weight room. He's going to be the first guy into the locker room preparing himself. He's going to show the younger players what it's like. I think Matt Ellis is going to be a terrific coach in this league at some point. I watch him now. You know, when he with the prospects, he puts them through drills during prospects camp, and it's very organized. It's very yeah, blah, 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 and the guys are listening to him. I mean, he gets their ear, and it's no nonsense. I'm going to make you better, and that's the way he always conducted himself. And He was a stand-up guy. I remember...
This is perfect. Rivs has a wry smile and just wants to counter every point you're making.
I remember the one time in Buffalo, I heard he got sent down and the Sabres had announced, and I asked him in the locker room, I said, Matt, did you get sent down today? He goes, Paul, I can't talk about it right now. Okay. And I went into the media room, started my article or whatever I had to do. He came into the media room and told me he was being sent down once he could tell me.
Yeah.
I've never had a player do that before.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stand-up guy Matt Ellis was.
Yeah, my counter with this is he is a greater man on the ice, in the locker room, as he is, you know, he's just a true professional, just like Paul said. I remember the first year that he came to the team. I think it was the same year that I came in, coming here to Buffalo. I didn't know a whole lot about him. I know that he had played a little bit in Detroit and in LA, and then obviously having the opportunity to come to Buffalo. When he came to Buffalo, I've never seen a guy work harder off the ice in the gym. It's something that every single solitary team needs, mm-hmm. because we had so many young guys at the time that were still trying to figure some things out. And when you see true professionals like Matt Ellis working so hard in the gym, on the bike, doing the extra, he's the first guy on the ice, he's the last guy off, you wake up in the morning, you're going to grab a coffee, and he's already on the bike, sweating all over the place. He was the true professional. He worked harder than any player that I've ever played with.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the conversation at the end of my first year with Darcy Regier. Darcy Regier asked me, and he said, what does this team need after my first year in Buffalo? And I said, this team needs leadership. That's number one. And he asked me, who would you go out if you had a player that you could choose to bring in here? Who would you go get? I said, Mike Greer. 100%. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent out of San Jose. I played with him the year before in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go get Mike Greer. This is exactly what this locker room needs. And I said, you also need to sign Matt Ellis. And he kind of looked at me like, why? You know? And I said, it's not just what he does on the ice. It's what he does off the ice. Mm-hmm. We have such a young, immature hockey team. You need guys like that in the locker room, that young players feel uncomfortable that they're not working hard enough, because you have this player here doing it every single day.
Yeah.
And the way he lived away from the rink is of a true professional, and that's what they needed. And Matt Ellis, I mean, now is after hockey career. I mean, he's more of a star in his after hockey career than when he played,
mm-hmm.
because of what he does right now is truly his passion of developing and getting through to players. So,
well, my favorite, and I would echo your sentiments on both of you as far as Matt the person, favorite Matt Ellis moment is when he was with the Amerks in the Frozen Frontier game, which we documented in Beyond Blue and Gold, and he scores the shootout winning goal in comeback fashion, and amidst the celebration, Chad Cassidy, then Amerks coach, tells him you're going up to the Sabres, and just it was so fitting and so perfect, and it was everything about that outdoor game was amazing, and you couldn't script the end, and it had hardcore adversity with less than a second to go in regulation time, and down by two goals in the shootout, and they found a way to win it, and Matt was the big story at the end of it. So love that. And you know, so Matt never got the games played at the NHL level that his desire and work ethic would have warranted. While I dial it back to the 70s and think of a player that was overshadowed when it came to star power, and my fear is that as generations go on, and obviously going into the golden season, we get an opportunity to really celebrate the best, most consistent contributors in franchise history. And when you phrase it that way, you don't have to look too far beyond the French Connection to land on Don Luce and Craig Ramsey. Mm-hmm. And they have earned and need to be constantly present at the highest end of the Sabres history books, you know, like on every meaningful category. I hope that they do not get overlooked on a weekend like this. people need to know how important those guys were.
I was watching YouTube Montreal Buffalo playoff game. I think Don Luce was in on every goal. I think he had 3 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was a big part, and he was a big part of that team with Danny Gare on that line too. And you know, these are guys who would score 20, 30 goals. You know, back when goals were scored in the NHL. Yeah. But, you know, everybody talked about the goals that the French Connections were scoring, and Danny Gare was scoring his 50. Well, his line mates were scoring goals too.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very good defensively. Craig Ramsey, you know, was very good. Selke.
Eventual Selke winner, long-time finalist, just couldn't get over the Montreal Bob Gainey curse.
But his best goal was in front of the net. He wore a helmet back then. A lot of players didn't. Probably saved his life. Jerry Korab had a bomb for a shot.
Yep.
Hit him in the head with his shot. It caromed off his helmet and into the net. He scored. Knocked him clean out. And the story goes in the hospital as he woke up, the first thing he said is, did I score?
Yeah.
you know? So, yeah, that was Craig Ramsey.
Yeah, and I mean, Craig's history and path in the game is remarkable, too, how he's just, you know, continued to coach in so many different places, and now globally. The game is in him so deep, and it'll be a thrill to have him back in town this weekend as well. Recent guys like Gio, who you know well, and I feel like the market obviously knows Brian well, but this is an opportunity for people to find out what that they don't know about Brian Gionta.
That he has a fantastic butt and legs.
Well, that'll be on display.
I didn't know Gio very well. I played against him for many years. You know, he is an incredible player. You know, plays the game right with speed and grit and the ability to score goals, leadership qualities. Obviously, Gio coming to the Buffalo Sabres and their transition and trying to find themselves, you couldn't have had a better leader in the National Hockey League at the time, and Gio is that guy. And I didn't know him very well. I didn't know him, quite frankly, at all. I remember I got asked, my wife and I got asked to go to dinner, and I remember Brian Gionta and his wife showed up to dinner. Mm-hmm. And walking in, I was marveled at his legs and his butt. And this is when he was still playing. He was just incredible. You understand why this player has so much power and speed in his game. Is I was wondering how he got his jeans on. And it got to the point where it got to the point at dinner where it was a little bit uncomfortable because I asked him, I just said, what kind of jeans are you wearing? How are you fitting that butt and legs in those jeans? And then he started to pull the jeans, and they had the elasticity in the jeans. Uh-huh. And I went the next day and bought the same pair of jeans. I don't have the same butt and leg, but bought the same pair of jeans as Gio, and that's my story about Gio. He's just a fantastic guy.
Hey, Hammer, any other old-timers that – and I know you're not going down that avenue with any of them, but, I mean – you know, what, like for you, what era? Like when you hearken back, like what, because you're really, 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 really meticulous mm-hmm. with memory of early line, not lines, some lines, but certainly rosters from the early 70s. It tends to blow mm-hmm. us away whenever we're on the road talking about stuff like that. But was it a 70s fascination for you? Was it
anything? Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously when they got into the Stanley Cup Finals against the Flyers and able to do that, and I remember Gilbert Perreault. I was covering the team by the end of his career, mm-hmm. and I remember before he became captain, I went and met the team at the airport.
Yep.
Talked to him, figured he would be the new captain. He says, "No way, I don't want to be captain. I don't want to be captain of the team. I'm not going to be captain of the team." And he came out against the Montreal Canadiens with the C on his sweater, and Scotty wasn't going to have it. Scotty decided Gilbert Perreault was going to be the captain, whether he wanted to be or not. Yeah. He was going to be the captain. But I remember Gilbert just late to say, "No, I'm not going to be. I don't want to be the captain. I'm not going to be the captain."
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was.
What do you still appreciate most about Perreault's game?
Just the end to end. You don't see that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, where he could have two bad periods by the end of the night at 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
because he could all of a sudden pick the puck up behind his own net and take off and go end to end and, you know, produce either a goal for himself or a goal for his line mates. And just the way he could handle the puck, and as I said, you don't see that anymore. Guys who can dangle and deke and make moves on defensemen and get around them like that. It's the game's changed so much now. Players like him aren't around. Even the best players. I mean, that's not how Sidney Crosby does his thing. I mean, yeah, sure, he can get around the defensive from time to time.
McDavid a little more likely, you know.
Yeah. But he does a lot of what he does with his speed.
Yeah.
Gilbert was just, he had speed, but it was the moves that he could put on and make a defenseman or a forward look silly as he went down, and then make a goaltender look silly at the end of the whole
thing. But half the D back then had cement boots. So, you know, you have Gilbert Perreault with his speed and his dynamic ability and his dangle ability. He was turning defensemen inside out because he was just so, so much better than them.
And goaltenders wore pads about the size of your arms. So, I mean, there was
upper body. upper body left a few holes to be found by the best shooters in the game. Yep. No question. Looking forward to it this weekend?
I am. Yep. It's always nice to see, the older players, just to get to see a lot of those guys. Even Danny Gary, we have him on the show and stuff, but every time I see him, it's just like I find him very interesting, and I could sit down with him and just kind of talk shop about hockey. I enjoy that, because I don't care whether you played in the 70s or the 80s, 90s, 2000, whatever it is. If you played in the National Hockey League, we all have a bond, and we've all been through, we all have stories of how we got there, and some of them were tough. They were long and they were hard. You sacrificed a tremendous amount, you get to express, your thoughts, whether you played 10 games in the league or 1,000, it's just really exciting to come back and see a lot of these guys.
Yeah, some players are lucky enough to have a bond seemingly with all, but all certainly have a bond with some. That's the beauty of being a fan, right? You could just have this connection with that. You're a fan, you just gravitate towards a certain player, doesn't matter whether
and then there's
superstar.
Guys that I come back, because I came from Montreal. There's guys that I come back and I can't stand JP Dumont. I can't stand this guy. I literally wanted to kill him, and now
why?
And because he, Paul, what do you mean why? Because he's irritating. He always wanted to get under your skin. He was a great hockey player. He could skate. He could shoot. He could score. I mean, I couldn't stand Adam Mayer. I fought him a couple times. I couldn't stand Adam Mayer. I couldn't stand Petey. I couldn't stand. There's so many guys that I can't stand, but I love them now. I love being able to sit back and talk with them, and this is what's exciting about this weekend.
And it's all part of the golden anniversary season, which we're really excited about, so make sure you check out sabres.com/fanfest for all the details on a really lengthy, fun day of activities planned on Saturday down at KeyBank Center and Alumni Plaza, presented by Labatt Blue Light. We'll take the break, come back with more on hour two of the Instigators. Paul Hamilton, Craig Reve, Brian Duff, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Reve.
Less than a half hour to go in the show. When is the free agent dam going to break, Paul Hamilton?
It's going to take one of them to sign. The best one to sign would be Marner, and I think the dominoes could all fall into place after that. It'd be interesting to see what his worth is. Connor, it would be very interesting to see what his worth is going to be. To me, now, Line A is a very, very gifted goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask me who I'd rather have, I'd rather have Connor on my team than Line A.
Which is a strong about face for many people if you were to have asked the same thing a year ago.
Right. And I understand about the pure goal scoring, but Connor, not only can he score goals, he does a lot of other things too that Line A doesn't do, and he does them well. And that's why, I'd be concentrating more on him than Line A.
So when does the free agent dam break?
I don't know. I can't. I will say this.
Who do you think will be the first guy that signs?
I can't see.
Don't change the question.
I can't see everybody holding out. One guy might hold out, but I can't see all the guys who are restricted right now who don't have a contract. I can't see them all holding out through the season. Maybe a couple of them will get through into training camp. I just can't see that happening as far as that many good players not. So that's why
I'm
going to
keep
say.
Asking this till I get an answer. When on the calendar, be it in August or September, does the free agent dam break?
I guess you haven't figured out that I'm not going to answer that.
I think there's lots of time still. There is lots of time. There's almost a month. So there is absolutely no pressure. You can get deals done in 2 days. So I don't think there's any pressure whatsoever. There's still continued dialogue with some of these players. Some players and teams are in a stalemate. They're just sitting back waiting.
Yep.
I believe that the first guy that could come down is either a Kyle Connor or a Mika Rantanen. And the reason why I say that, Mika Rantanen in Colorado is, I believe, going to be in an 8-year contract. And because they have $16.5 million left on their salary cap right now, with everybody signed, he's the only guy that they need to get under contract. And I don't think that Joe Sakic is going to wait for the Mitch Marner point and their contracts to go down. I think Joe Sakic is going to try and get something done on an 8-year deal.
Don't you think those are a thing of the past now for those young players, 8-year deals? Don't you think most of them are going to try for the 5 years?
Nope. No? I think the ones that really, really, really think and or are – maybe getting different advice. I think certain guys who just have a certain air about them. Like, we look at that list, and we've looked at that list a million times. Even though there's a lot of similarities, you know, there's certain guys that seemingly think and or have earned, like, that they there's a little more cachet around their name.
They think there's market setters in that group.
Right. And now Aho wasn't. So you're, honestly, like, that's kind of the irony here, right? Like, Aho probably never, ever thought of himself as the market setter.
Exactly. And guess what? And I don't think that – I don't think Mika Rantanen, who loves living in Colorado – what is it? Most sunny days in the United States.
All I know is whenever we show up in January and February, you still get a chance at 80 degrees. It's pretty impressive.
So what I'm saying is he loves to play there. He looks at that young roster and says, this is an incredible roster. I don't want to leave here. It's a beautiful place to play and live. They're in a great team. They're run by Joe Sakic, who I think's done a very good job there. Go and sign the long-term deal. That's 8 years. Mm-hmm. That's great. There's other players, like, for an example, as far as I'm concerned, Point. Point, I think, wants to sign an 8-year deal because why would you not want to sign an 8-year deal in Tampa Bay? They have the best team in the National Hockey League, one of the best teams in the history of the game last year. Mm-hmm. I think that he's saying, what, you're telling me I get to play with Nikita Kucherov for the next 8 years? Done. Signed. He doesn't need to be a market setter like Mitch Marner, who everybody's blowing him up like he's the next, coming player. He's in Toronto. He's in a massive market. He's probably, I think, a little bit inflated, but he's still an exceptionally good player. Mm-hmm. And are they in a situation where they want to set a market? They want to be a market setter. You want me for an 8-year deal? You're going to pay me an exceptionally large amount of money. Or I want a 5-year deal. Right now, I think that Toronto is not willing to give him a 5-year deal because they already gave that 5-year deal to Auston Matthews, and I don't think that went over well in the National Hockey League. What GM right now is sitting there going to Kyle Dubas, great job for getting Matthews under a 5-year deal so at 27 he can turn around and knock it out of the park? Now you just set a new market. Auston Matthews set a new market for all these young guys. Well, oh, why would I sign an 8-year deal when I can get a 5-year deal and be unrestricted free agent at the end of it? Yeah, right.
Well, the easy answer to that is more guaranteed money, but yes.
So there are guys that I believe will sign 8-year deals.
Well, you made points sound so easy. Why hasn't he signed that?
Well, because they've had work to do. Obviously, the Adam Ernie deal yesterday is the last of what were the restricted free agents on their roster. So now there's just one. I don't know if I don't believe that that changed anything in any way other than it's clear now that there is only one left, and it's Point. I also wonder, like with Point, he can't possibly think of himself as better than Kucherov, right?
No.
No.
And
Kucherov and next year is making $9.5 million.
He's making $9.5 forever.
But what is $9.5 million to Toronto? It's like 12, right?
Right, $9.5 million.
And they probably don't want to put him past Stamkos.
Well, he's going to be making more than Stamkos.
I think it's different.
Stamkos took a significant pay cut to come to Tampa Bay, back to Tampa Bay.
But that might be what they're saying right now.
Yeah.
That might not be how it ends. But right now, they're probably trying to keep him under Stamkos.
They have to me, this is kind of a no-brainer. Like, there's 9-3.
What did Aho get?
Hang on. There's 9-3 left in cap space in Tampa. Like, Cooch makes 9-5. You got one guy to sign. Like, maybe go 9-3 and just get it done.
Mm. Or 9. If we're going to pay you $9 million, that's like you making 11 someplace else. So just sign the deal. Let's be happy that you're making $9 million for the next 8 years, and let's move forward.
Yeah.
Aho is making what? $8.5 million. Well, listen, I mean, Point should be getting $9.5 million all day long then. Mm-hmm. Get her done.
He makes it sound so easy.
Right.
It's easy.
But it is becoming easier. I think it is becoming easier because we are to a point where, like Tampa's situation, you've whittled away all the rest of it. So we're almost literally getting to that moment where the only guys left to sign are those ones.
Yeah.
And your cap number is what it is, and your cap availability is what it is. So in this case with Tampa, it certainly appears to be common sense. It's so close that you can certainly manipulate another minor roster move to free up $1 million if need be, correct? Like that's so, and I'm with you. Like I think there are teams that are just in a position to get it done, whereas Winnipeg has the same cap space, give or take a million, as Colorado, but they've got two guys left to sign. Like two massive guys left to sign, let alone the rest of the business.
There's certain guys that really like where they're living. Okay, and they want to be there. And I think Point is one of those players. He would be crazy to sit out and say, you know, if you don't want me, move me, this, that, and the other. He's playing on an exceptionally good team that's going to be very good for years and years to come. And he's living in Tampa Bay, and he's living in a, the no-tax state. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a really good situation, and that's what they're holding on him right now. They're saying, hey, listen, you want to play for Tampa Bay Lightning? Come and sign for $8.5 million like Steve Stamkos did, so we can be a great team for the next 8-10 years. Mm-hmm. That's what they're looking for him, and they're trying to beat him down to see how bad he wants to stay in Tampa Bay, right?
It works. It's all the right reasons.
I look at Winnipeg and say, you got two super studs. You've got a Line A who underachieved last year. You have a Kyle Connor who's just an overall, all-around great player with speed. He's the prototypical perfect player forward in the league. Who do you sign first? Do you try and get Kyle Connor to sign first? Are they looking at getting Line A signed first? Mm-hmm. You know, do you say, we'll offer you $7.5 million on an 8-year deal for Kyle Connor, and then turn around and say to Patrick Laine, he scored more goals than you last year. He had 15 more points because I think Patrick Laine only had 50 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to...
Connor gets done before Laine all day long, in my opinion.
And then they're going to use Kyle Connor to say to Patrick Laine, this guy signed for $7.5 million, just hypothetical, right? $7.5 million. He might be a better player than your client. Yeah. You know, and then it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun to see where these the dominoes.
Okay, so do any of them get done before the end of August?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will believe.
I think Rantanen gets done before.
Yeah, I think Kyle Connor and possibly Rantanen get done. And Rantanen's getting done just because I feel that they have the money. Mm-hmm. They have $16.5 million, and there's only one guy to sign. So I think they'll get him done.
All right, let's take a break and come back with buy-sell trade before we wind things down. One signing that is anticipated, if not imminent, but and this has been long rumored, but another report today that the Sharks do, in fact, plan to get Joe Thornton locked up. Still more uncertainty as it pertains to Patrick Marleau and San Jose moving forward. Stay with us, Instigators, wrapping up right after this.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, rapidly winding down the show, Hammer. Thanks for being in today. Bisons again, 105 today. It's their last weekday matinee game, and then tomorrow night is hockey night at the ballpark. Remember the jerseys and all that? And obviously that's why we reference the alumni signings that'll be happening there too tomorrow night. But we want to get into buy, sell, trade to wind things down today. Presented, as always, by Buffalo Sports. Find them on McKinley Parkway. And what a statement we have for buy-sell trade today. Jeff Skinner won't be on Jack Eichel's line when the season begins. Jeff Skinner will not be on Jack Eichel's line on opening night. Buy-sell trade. Rips?
Blasphemy! Absolutely not.
Do you want? Hey, wait a minute. You liked this earlier.
Yeah, I did. I don't even know what I like right now. All I know is I think that there's more depth in this lineup, and it's going to take a little bit of time to find out what are the best combinations for the entire team moving forward. And will Jeff Skinner be on Jack Eichel's line? Yes, I do believe he will be on Jack Eichel's line on opening night.
I'm going to buy that. You're selling it.
No, you're selling that he won't be on Eichel's line. Yes.
I'm going to sell this. I think he will be. So I'm selling it, right?
Or am I buying it? Yes, you're selling.
I'm selling it. Yeah, I think he will be on Jack Eichel's line. Yeah. I can't go against what I've been saying for the last 2 hours. Duffer, I can't say you've won me over, although you've made some very good points, and you very well could be right, because Olsson with Eichel worked last year, so I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'll stick with what I came into the show with.
Buy, sell, trade. We don't know the three truest words spoken during the course of the last 2 hours.
Buy.
Yeah, yes. We're all buying that, yep. Aren't we? Yes. Buy, sell, trade, presented by Buffalo Sports, where you can buy, sell, trade new and used sports equipment. And we get set for tomorrow. Final one of the week.
It's been a good week.
What happens on Fridays around here? I'm new to this.
I don't have to worry about it.
I mean.
Now, are you saying that because you don't want to come back, or you've not been extended an invitation?
I haven't been invited, so.
But it is a Bills football
you
Friday.
You have the open invite anytime, Paulie.
And clearly you've gotten security clearance to get through and in today, so. Yeah.
Yep. New glasses today, though, right?
Yeah.
New glasses.
Yeah, new glasses.
You're actually looking smart for a change.
Oh, you like them?
Very much. Very much. Looking good.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Thank
you.
Will the bromance continue? Will Reve look lovingly into Paul's eyes on Friday?
I can't take him away from Petey.
We will soon find out. Enjoy One Bills Live. It is straight ahead, thanks to our terrific production crew. Thanks for being a part of the Instigators here on MSG and WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.